Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back into Old School. Big thanks to Eastrick for sticking around and Elena from the Upside Bar and Lounge for stopping by. But let's hit the man on the road, Husker Hall of Famer, 9-year NBA vet, Jay Foreman. What's good, 44?
Yeah, not much, man. This is another good week, but you know how it is. We're probably about 45 minutes away for his lights, camera, action over there at the stadium. So it's going to be interesting to hear the little tidbits coming out of there from the 7-on-7 tournament that's been going on all day.
I asked Strick in our text line this question. Would love to know your answer. If you could have a ticket to any game in any college football season to watch one college football player play that you didn't get to see, who would you go back and watch?
Oh, number one, always my dad. Number two, I would say Reggie Bush, just because he was must-see TV. I'd like to watch him live. I saw, obviously, all the highlights. But I think Reggie Bush, just because Reggie Bush and Vince Young, just because that was probably one of the most exciting national championship games ever.
I'm glad you brought up those names. Reggie and Vince definitely came up in our discussion on our text line as well. The basis for that question was with that 7-on-7 camp. Cam Newton's in town. Got a picture with him and Coach Rhule. They're on the interweb, so that's up for people to go look at. I posed this to Stricky. Was Vince Young Cam Newton before Cam Newton?
Oh, he was way before his time. If he would have been in this modern day, just like Tommy Frazier, he would definitely have been more than the number one pick, but he would have been iconic like Lamar Jackson. I mean, he definitely was, you know, and it's based on, you know, where you go, right? He went to Tennessee. Cam went to Carolina. How they nurtured him, you know, with Jeff Fisher versus, you know, Fox and Ron Rivera. You have a head coach in an organization that truly believes in you, go through the growing pains, and then also, more importantly, have a number one receiver for you. Then you have the iconic, at times, the iconic career as Cam Newton had, winning the MVP, and obviously taking Carolina to on the brink of winning the Super Bowl, lost to the Denver Broncos, but he won the MVP and obviously lived up to the billing versus Vince Young. With Jeff Fisher, Tennessee kind of always on limbo. They believe him or not. Then you bring in Marcus Mariota, and the next thing you know, he's kind of in and out of the league, and it's the difference of his career. So definitely Vince Young was well before his time, but then also I think his career would have been on the path of kind of Cam Newton if he would have had the same type of support from top to bottom, like we always talk about. It starts at the top, trickles down to the players, and then obviously I think Cam Newton, when Carolina – drafted him, had a little bit better supporting cast, but then also had the support from the top and the powers that be.
It's interesting to look back at the careers of both Vince Young and Cam Newton, because on the one hand, what made them special was exactly what you said. They were ahead of their time. And I think guys like that, you know, in an era like this with football being played the way it is, would have found a way to be successful. But Jay, I don't know if Cam Newton and Vince Young are playing today, if we appreciate them for who they are, because not that we see guys like Vince Young and Cam Newton all the time, but we see enough of their skill set sprinkled in throughout the league. You can only imagine if they'd been used, you know, maybe a little smarter, maybe been able to stay a little healthier, what they could have been. But also the fact that we hadn't seen anything like them, there's some of that awe, that mystique, that aura around those guys that if they're playing in 2025, I don't think it's the same compared to, you know, 2005 and 2015.
Yeah, it is. It when you say that like that, Austin, it's like it's underappreciated, but then also I think they set the tone for more guys like him. You just think of the Underwood kid that's up in Michigan, 6'4", you know, 220 pounds, dual threat, you know, the number one recruit and getting, you know, on average $2.5 million a year in NIL. So their effect obviously spread the path spread wide. But I don't think those two, and especially Cam Newton, and I'm going to tell you this, I met Cam Newton down there at the Super Bowl. You know, I consider myself a pretty sizable big dude. He is every bit of a defensive end, and obviously he was next level when he was playing. And so those guys don't, you know, grow readily. But I think guys that try to replicate it are out there. And that's why, you know, this is like in another sport, you know, like with Steph Curry, there's more guys that can actually try to shoot threes, not to the same magnitude as the greatest shooter of all time, but they can kind of, you know, dress up like it. And you see some pretty darn good three-point shooters. And you know, more importantly, when Oakland upset Kentucky, they were led by what? A marksman as a three-point shooter. So, you know, I think what Cam Newton and Vince Young did is they set forth the path of the changing of the guard and quarterback. You got to think, Vince Young was before his time, and they were like, oh, he can't read defenses and all that, and how will he adjust to the NFL, you know, to an NFL type of offense? Well, here's what Carolina did. They said, listen, we're going to adjust to Cam Newton. He came in, I think his first game was over 400 yards, and obviously you had Steve Smith out there, and then you had Greg Olsen at tight end. But here's what came next. You saw a little bit more of Jalen Hurts at Alabama. Then obviously he went to Oklahoma. Then you saw some more guys, even a little bit of Tua. It was a little bit of dual threat, even though he was a really good thrower. Then you saw Justin Fields and those type of guys start to get more chances. And even your boy that got drafted before, my man, Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, they are byproducts in some form or fashion from Vince Young, then Cam Newton. Therefore, really, they had a big impact on not only college, or actually high school, college, and in the National Football League.
It's been really interesting to see, you know, the bigger bodied guys like Vince Young and Cam Newton give way really to the next one being Lamar Jackson, right? Spindly, tall, lanky kind of guy. And then you had, you know, the athleticism of Watson and Mahomes. But the dual threat mobile quarterback, I think, has given more guys an opportunity to play the position and thrive at the position, including your guy Pocket Hercules. I think we have to include Kyler Murray in that conversation as well. I mean, we think about, you know, smaller pocket passers. You think about Drew Brees. He really had to be the exception to a lot of people's presuppositions about the quarterback position. But I think then, you know, if you told people that what you start at Vince Young turns into, you know, Jalen Hurts, who's well-built but not overly tall, and Kyler Murray right before him. I mean, a lot of people are making Kyler Murray a slot receiver, but I think even he has a little bit of a hand in the quarterback revolution in college.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And he's a Texas high school legend. I don't think he ever lost. I mean, they still talk about him, like, even though he's a punitive, you know, little guy, and I always mess with him on his size, but he's like, you know, the Jolly Green Giant or Paul Bunyan, as far as how good he was in the high school ranking. And so, you know, does it all form or sizes, they come in, you know, the version from Cam Newton and Vince Young, and everybody is a byproduct. And let's not forget Baker Mayfield and the way that he was able to jump on the scene in college. And obviously Johnny Manziel and all these guys got shots, not only in college, but in the NFL, based on the success of some of their predecessors, or that went along with it around their same time. It became, you know, more of an asset versus a detriment, where they tried to downgrade guys because you were a dual threat. Now they use it as, you know, when Jalen Hurts first got in the NFL, and you saw it, obviously, Anthony Richardson with your Colts. They said, listen, if we can get this guy to pass the ball efficiently enough, what he does with his legs and obviously his body and mind takes it to the next level. And obviously you've seen the accumulation of it with Jalen Hurts and obviously Patrick Mahomes.
And the one guy I would throw out also in the early 2000s has to be Michael Vick. We skipped over him.
Yeah. Oh, trust me. I thought Michael Vick, I'm close to personal, when he came off of, I think, an ankle injury. And it was probably one of the, I would say the scariest moments. But when you see him on tape, and Michael Vick, I think, was next level. I think he was probably a mix of a faster version of Lamar Jackson, and just because he's left-handed, Tua, but he threw one of the best deep balls ever. But you see Michael Vick on tape, and you're like, okay, well, he's fast, right? And you can go against a couple fast guys that are, you know, that could run McNabb and those guys. But he was easily the fastest guy on the field, and that's what made him so dangerous and obviously such a weapon. But, he, you know, I guess he would be the godfather. And obviously before him, when Michael Vick resurrected his career in Philly was Randall Cunningham. And, you know, I think the appreciation of the guys that were able to do it before, the guys that are doing now, it's something that kind of gets, you know, pushed to the side. But those guys really, really had an impact on every single level in football. And that's what, you know, it makes guys like Vince Young and obviously Cam Newton legends.
We're talking with Jay Foreman, Husker Hall of Famer, host of Old School, joining us here on our Aloe Fiber VIP line. I can sense it in your voice, Jay. You're tired of talking about offense, so let's flip to defense. We got a comment from Cassie on our Starter Heyman Jewelers text line. Says, Jay, do you have any comments on the passing of the great Jim Marshall, member of the Purple People Eaters?
Yeah, I mean, look, I've been knowing Jim Marshall, or knew Jim Marshall since I was a little kid, man. It was Uncle Jim, and he was great. You know, he had a big impact on my dad's career when he came up to Minnesota from Miami. And so, you know, Jim was like, you know, he was like family. And, it, you know, look, it's, you know, he had an iconic career playing over 20 years at defensive end. He was the captain, you know, obviously when he was at the Cleveland Browns early in his career. But then when he got to the Vikings, he went to legendary status, never missed a game, but then obviously represented the Minnesota Vikings, you know, on and off the field with the utmost respect. And obviously, was well thought of in and outside of the locker room. So it sucks to see that or hear the news that he passed away. He'd been, you know, sick for a while, but he's so tough that that you never felt like, you know, that he was ever gonna, you know, obviously succumb to what he had going on. I mean, you remember the you know, the story of him being stuck out in the wilderness and him lasting 3 days, you know, and you know, going back to the facility and practicing like no big deal. And so, you know, everybody's, you know, hearts are felt that, you know, he passed away. But obviously, I think his impact, like we talked about, the guys that, you know, at the quarterback position will live long past, you know, this next few days and weeks and years of hurt because he is the true embedded embodiment of being a Viking. And Jim Marshall will be sorely missed.
Recovered an NFL record 29 fumbles in his career on top of everything that Jay just added. For those who might not understand just how good the Purple People Eaters were defensively, what stands out to you about that unit?
Well, my dad told me that, you know, he watched Jim Marshall when he was like 11, 12 years old. And obviously there wasn't a lot of football games on, but he was able to watch Jim Marshall, you know, play. And then obviously the Purple People Eaters, I think, you know, for me, I knew them all on a personal level with Gary Larson, obviously Carl Eller, Alan Page, and then obviously Jim Marshall. Four distinct different personalities and obviously different body types. I would say, you know, Gary Larson looked like a Viking. Alan Page was obviously, you know, he became the Supreme, you know, court judge, or the Supreme Court and the judge on the Supreme Court, I think. And then you had Carl Eller, who they, you know, they nicknamed Moose, and he was like a huge giant and still is to this day. But they all played together and they all worked extremely hard and they all played off each other. So the, I guess with they, you know, with the Giants, when they beat the Patriots, they had their pass rush unit, the NASCAR unit, four defensive ends out there. The Vikings obviously did it long before that with the Purple People Eaters. And the great thing about it is that, you know, when the offense started to take off in, you know, with my dad and Frantz Harkinson and Ahmad Rashad, Sammy White and Stu Boyd, and obviously that offensive line with Mick Tinglehoff and the, you know, the likes of those guys. You know, the defense played off was what set it off early, and then the offense was able to, you know, rise to the occasion and be pretty effective, and they had pretty good runs up there with the Vikings. Even though they weren't able to complete the mission and get a Super Bowl, they still had some iconic players and iconic, you know, defensive units led by that defensive line, the Purple People Eaters.
You got to pick one. Purple People Eaters, Steel Curtain, or Monsters of the Midway?
Well, I'm going to go Purple People Eaters. That's family. Obviously, the Steel Curtain was obviously really good as well and legendary. You know, doesn't take a backseat to anybody. And, you know, it's hard, you know, whether you're judging LeBron James versus Jordan or, you know, Bird and Curry, and everybody wants to look at championships. But, you know, the Purple People Eaters were pretty dang good. And then you could even throw in the no-name defense of the Miami Dolphins and so forth and so on. So, I like the Purple People Eaters. I think they had, you know, obviously during their era.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano or pick up bass guitar. Or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So, try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized, chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know, they can play the run and they can rush the passer. And then I think they also, were probably the godfathers of the defensive line that was actually must-see TV, or the guys that really, you know, got off the bus first. And I liked it because, one, I knew them all personally, but then, you know, more importantly, they all had different personalities, but, and they all were great players, right? And when you think about it, they all had unique personalities and great players, but they all played for one another. And that's a lost art in this day and age of football in general. I was going to say college football, but they had a big impact. And people are still talking about them right now. You know, obviously, Jim Marshall, with his passing, obviously brought it to light. But you hear some iconic players, whether it's John Randall, Aaron Donald, and even at times Warren Sapp mentioned the Purple People Eaters, and also the tradition that they set forth for the Minnesota Vikings defensive line. You got to think after that, they had the Chris Dolmans, the Al Nogas, the John Randalls, the Keaton Lards, and the Henry Thomas. That was a byproduct of the standards that the Purple People Eaters set forth, you know, years and years prior to the Minnesota Vikings.
Let's turn our attention, Jay, NBA Finals. Your reaction to Game 1 between the Thunder and the Pacers last night?
Well, you know, like, when he took the shot, I was thinking, like, I told Austin that Tyrese Haliburton was going to do his thing. And, he's a guy that has no fear. You know, I think he's playing with house money. I felt like OKC had control of the game the all game, but they never really got a big enough lead that the Pacers went away, and they just kept chipping away. And you got to give the credit to Rick Carlisle, that's the X factor, being in those situations before, having the experience, maybe having the black book of other coaches that he can call and try to make it small ball and situational basketball rang true. And then once that last shot, you know, it was really good defense by them. And it was Siakam really faked it, or they call it faint, mm-hmm. like he was going to help on, Shea Alexander. And then he went back and he got to the corner, forced him into a hard shot, make him pick up his dribble and shoot it one dribble too early, got the rebound. And then once you let Tyrese Haliburton get you on the move, you know, he is very comfortable when it's kind of hectic. And the reason why is because I think he really studies his opponent. If you go all the way back to when he was going against Giannis, Giannis played up on him too quick, and then he took Giannis to the rack. 22 from OKC. He went for the first and second move, so Tyrese knew he had him on the third move, pulled up mid-range or deep mid-range. And the way when he shot it, you knew it was in. And that's one guy that you're going to have to either hard hedge, I call it super hedge, where you're going to have to double team him or face guard him to make sure that he doesn't get the ball. Because anything late in the shot clock or when it's money time, he's built for it. He's been like that even back when he was with the Kings. He was like that when he was with Iowa State. I think it's just the confidence that he's actually, you know, been in those situations and been successful. Now, look, there's plenty of times where he doesn't make it right during the regular season. But I think the bigger the stage and then also the bigger the moment, I think he really, really enjoys those types of situations. And he likes being overlooked. Also, some guys just sulk when they don't get their way, right? And kind of being made fun of. And then him having the humility to make fun of himself of getting a gold medal and not, you know, after really contributing for the Olympics, was underneath that was the motivation. Like, I'm going to show you, he's the last man standing, you know, from that team, right? You got to think Tatum gone, everybody else that was supposed to be better than him. And there's some really good players and he didn't play. He's the last man standing there and they're all, you know, watching him. And then also he's producing and is nothing better than making those game winning shots in money time when everybody else is at home watching you.
Speaking about money time, saw this posted from Extra Stats on Twitter by way of sports reference. Tyrese Haliburton ties Reggie Miller with 5 game-tying or lead-taking shots with under 5 seconds left in the game in the playoffs since 1997. Reggie Miller went 5 of 9 on those from 97 on. Tyrese Haliburton now 5 out of 6. Jay, there's only one player since 1997 with more game-tying or lead-taking shots in the final 5 seconds in the game since 1997, you have a guess who that would be?
LeBron.
LeBron James, 8 out of 20.
Yeah. I mean, he actually, you know, people don't give credit, give LeBron enough credit for being money down the stretch because it was kind of his asterisk on his, you know, career early. But he hit a lot more game-winning shots than he gives credit for, not the iconic ones of Jordan against the Cavs, or even Kawhi in the corner against the Philadelphia 76ers when he was at the Raptors. But LeBron James has been money, and he's hit some big shots, especially even for the Lakers, and obviously kind of went with the Cavs and Miami Heat. So, yeah, LeBron James, unless he's been able to be in those situations a lot, and the way that the game is played now, right, where you're never – no lead is safe in the NBA. You could be up by 40 and then be in for a dogfight with 2 minutes left. And so you're going to have a lot more of those, game-tying, game-winning shots if you're an iconic player at the status of LeBron James. But one thing I will tell you, you know, about standard, right? You talk about Reggie Miller, and I think the 30 for 30 was just on, again, with the Pacers and the Knicks and how much bad blood there is, right? But it really focused on Reggie Miller and his personality. Once you're a big-time player there with the Pacers, and you kind of, you know, the Pacers are a place where you go back to Paul George and that team, and you had Roy Hibbert. They were kind of overlooked. Like, yeah, the Pacers are good. And you had a knucklehead in Lance Stephenson, and he really helped or cost them a championship or potential chance at a championship. But that was the birth of Paul George, right? You know, kind of overlooked. The guy in the middle of the country really became a star product. Same thing with Tyrese Haliburton. Buddy Hield was there. They got him out of there, but then they really brought in a guy that really welcomed the challenge of making the Pacers a good team. And then you got lucky with Rick Carlisle, you know, unexpectedly getting fired from the Dallas Mavericks. Now you get a championship coach, and then now you get a guy that's trying to be a champion, and that welcomes that last second and all that heat in Indianapolis for the Pacers. That's how you end up, you know, trying to be the second coming of Reggie Miller. But it was really, really, really cool to see the mindset of Reggie Miller and where he grew up, being overlooked, obviously with his sister Cheryl Miller being an iconic player and probably the better one in the family with the bigger name at that point in time. Same thing with Tyrese Halliburton. You end up at Iowa State. Remember, they said he had a funky shot. Mm-hmm. They don't know if it's gonna. And they don't. It's kind of a set shot, right? Kind of a. And plus, he's 6'6". He can do that. But he always had to shoot deep with the low release and kind of the set shot. Will it work in the NBA? Is he quick enough to really to guard? Well, he's really knocked every negative against him out of the park. He can guard. He can play a point guard, kind of a point shooting guard, point forward, small forward. And then obviously he has the heart of a champion to be able to shoot those shots in mind time and not only shoot them, but make them and not think twice about it after he makes them. Now it's the expectation or really the standard that he has to make those because he's exceeded all the expectations that people had on him coming into the league.
Do you blame Oklahoma City for losing or credit Indiana for winning? Do you lean one way with that?
I'm going to credit Indiana for winning. Because I think what happened was is that I think Oklahoma City, you know, they played really well. They were really efficient. They had, you know, a 13-point lead. And then I think they realized about the middle of the second quarter, like, these dudes can play. And this is a different Pacer team that you beat by 20, 30 points earlier in the year. And they just would not go away. You know, when Tyrese Halliburton was kind of – I remember at one point in time, I think at halftime he was 2 of 5, right? Mm-hmm. Looked like he was sleepwalking. Siakam was getting busy. Then you had, you know, different guys trying to get going. But then once he got going, it just really opened up the floodgates. And it's down the stretch where he really started to assert himself of being aggressive, but then also being really, really efficient on the offensive side. So I'm going to give it to the Pacers going and winning that game. Because the reason why I feel like they won that game is they knew every time out, I know the conversation that they were having. At this point, we want to have it within this point range. At this next break or this timeout, we want to be here. And then once we get here, they just went and played. And then that was just second nature. So they really went out and won the game. I don't think OKC lost it. I just think a team played better down the stretch in situational basketball. And it wasn't because OKC wasn't doing the right thing. I think Indiana made it harder on them earlier in the game, but OKC was hitting those shots. You got to think they were hitting fadeaway bank shots early in the game. They stuck to it. Played their defense, played their sets, and kept you know chipping away at it, and then got a chance to win it at the end. But it was all based off of having a good defensive series down on the defensive end.
Which is not exactly what you think about from Indiana. But, Jay, I do think they stuck to their game plan throughout the course, like you said. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has 38 points, but it took him 30 shots to get there. Hit 14 of them, which isn't bad. But I think if you're Indiana, even though he's the MVP, if he's going to take, you know, 25 to 30 shots per game, you like your chances of your depth maybe wearing him down by showing him different looks throughout the course of the series, because this is still an Oklahoma City team with some scars from last year, how that ended. The flip side of that equation is this same thing happened to OKC in the Western Conference semis against Denver.
Denver, yeah.
You know, so what's your concern level for Oklahoma City? Do you think that this woke them up, or do you think that there's legitimate cause for concern with what the Pacers can do to them?
Well, I think, you know, neither team has a lot of championship pedigree, but I think the maturity led by Rick Carlisle really showed. But because you've seen a lot more frustration from Shai, you know, towards his teammates when it got a little bit tighter than you saw even in the Denver series, because I felt like they knew. I think that against Denver, they knew that the youth and the legs would wear them down, and they knew once they got that seven, you know, the game seven at home, they obviously would, you know, knock it out of the park. The only thing that, if I'm OKC, that concerns me is that Shai had to work awfully hard to have 38 points. And if I'm in Indiana, I like that. I like that we made you score 30. You know, you never want to give up 38 points. But if you shoot 25 or more shots and you're 14, and now in this case you're 14 to 30, I like that. Because I think there wasn't any easy shots. Every shot was contested. Every shot wasn't a deep, there was no defensive breakdowns. And I think you got the benefit down the stretch. It wasn't just the last shot that he missed. It was a shot two shots prior. And you didn't let him get in a rhythm and get a lot of easy baskets and the confidence that would not only, you know, he would get, but it was his teammates. And so I think Indiana was well, you know, prepared for him to be a volume shooter. And as long as he didn't really, you know, if he hit at a high volume, they were okay with it. Now, if I'm OKC, I need to get Chet going, right, early, right? And, then I'm thinking I'm going to use Indiana's kind of game plan. Chet, Dort, both Williams, and then let Shea be the closer versus in this game. I think Shea might have took the mindset of, I'm going to show you and I'm going to prove to you why I was the MVP on this big stage. And it backfired, especially down the stretch. And so whoever makes the adjustments in this, you know, next 24 hours and less than 24 hours is going to have the leg up in game two. Now, obviously, you know, OKC will probably come out and really, really assert themselves as a team. But more importantly, like you said, the scar tissue from last year and then also at times during this playoff, especially at home, it doesn't sit so well because the pressure is so much higher when you're playing for a championship versus in the, like the, you know, the middle round, because you know, you lose this one, another one at home, or you don't play well on the road, or you don't get some calls, then the pressure is 10 times more in game five versus it was in game seven against the Denver Nuggets.
That's Jay Foreman, Husker Hall of Famer, on our Aloe Fiber VIP line. You good to stick around for the last segment, Jay?
Yes, sir.
Cool. We'll go to break. Be right back for about 10 more minutes on Old School in just a sec.
Watch Old School live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number. Not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.